Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome back to Activity Quest, the podcast that is packed with stuff to do. In this week's episode, Meg's visiting the National Waterways Museum at Ellesmere Port, and we're heading back in time to share a bead craft with you. My name is Bex, and every episode of Activity Quest starts with a Fun Kids presenter doing something awesome. All right then, Meg, what's going on this week?
Welcome to Activity Quest!
Yes, welcome to Activity Quest. I am at Ellesmere Port today, and I am joined by some very special guests from Road Heath Primary School. Do you think we can try that welcome again? A little bit less giggling?
Welcome to Activity Quest!
Love it. Okay, one more time for good luck.
Welcome to Activity Quest!
Yes, welcome to Activity Quest. We are at Ellesmere Port, and the explorers I've got with me today, who are from Road Heath Primary School Year 3, have already spent the day here on a school trip. So you're experts, right? You're going to tell me what I need to see today. But first, let's start off by hearing your names.
My name is Anna, and I am 7.
My name is Ethan, and I am 8.
My name is George, and I'm 7.
So tell me your favourite part of your day so far.
It was probably about the painting and getting ready to do the radio, which is right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good part of your day, right? So have you learnt anything about the canal or the river today? Have you learnt
anything? We've been learning about, the locks and stuff like that.
I've heard from your teacher that you've been down to the canal today. Did you see any boats?
Yeah, we just saw the old boats.
I asked if there were models, but they were actually the real boat.
Like when they used horses.
Horse carry the boat, and there was a little chug thing with water in and food, and you have to pour it in the thing, and then the horse just... While they're walking, I forgot what it's called.
Okay. I think it was called a nose tin.
What was the best part of your day so far?
I liked going into the canal boat, but not it in the water, it was inside. It was long, but where the people sleep is very small.
You have to crouch up even. You have to literally go.
What, is even small for you guys?
Yeah, you could fit 5 people in though.
Oh wow. Do you think you'd like to live on a canal boat?
No,
why not?
Because it might sink. It's too small.
If there's one hole in the canal boat, then all of your stuff that you've put in there, that's just gone.
So do you think that other children should come here?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you sure? Definitely.
Because it's a really fun place, and you can look at real boats that were from the olden days, and there's crafts, and you can come here for school trips, and there's really cool stuff to do.
Yeah, because if it's your first time, it will be really exciting to go everywhere. But if it's your second time or your third time, it might be still good because it is a very fun place to be.
Thanks to Anna, Ethan and George for being on the Activity Quest podcast today. Their favourite things were learning about the horses that pulled the canal boats. Now, I've had a little bit more research into this in the museum, and actually, canal boats would have been pulled by horses walking along the path, just like they told us in their roundabout, chaotic way. Another thing that they said was really good was going in one of the canal boats. So I'm sat here in one of the canal boats and it is tiny. It looks quite big from the outside. It's like the opposite of a TARDIS. And that is because they would have put all the goods in the back. And then this living space here is tiny. And it's something that if you do come down to Ellesmere Port, I would definitely recommend you have a look at. Another thing that I know is really good here at Ellesmere Port is called Porter's Row. Now, these are cottages from the 1830s that still remain here on this site. So let's go and take a look. So I'm at Porter's Row, which is a set of cottages built here in 1833, and no one lives here anymore, but we can have a little look inside to learn about the history. Now, the first cottage is set up like an 1830s house. The washing machine, I don't know if you could call it a machine, but you basically have to like do it by hand. It's all manual. It feels very dark in here. And as I go along the street, you can go into different houses. It's like time traveling. So the next house, let's have a look. This one is from the 1930s. The wallpaper's a bit different, still very dark. And if we go into the next one, I'm giving you a whistle-stop tour because I think you should come and check it out. 1936, things are starting to change. And in 1952, this is the last one, you've got a TV being introduced, but it's a very small one, it's very black and white. It would have shown one channel, very different to what we have now. And also, the toilet still outside. So I'm not sure how you feel about outdoor weeds now. Helen, who works here, has told me that it might be the child's job to empty that toilet if you didn't have a flushing toilet, which they didn't in the 1830s. So I'm not sure how great it would be to be a child in that era. But I'm going to speak to Helen a little bit about her favourite things at the museum and also what you can do here. So Helen, if you'd like to introduce yourself for the podcast.
Hello, I'm Helen Evans. I'm Learning and Skills Coordinator for Canal and River Trust in the Northwest, and we're currently at the National Waterways Museum in Ellesmere Port.
So what can we see here today at Ellesmere Port?
So we've got all kinds of things. This is a historic dock complex. So we've got historic dock buildings, we've got engines, we've got a historic slipway, a period street, we've obviously got a canal, we've got locks, we've got indoor exhibits, all kinds of things.
So if people have enjoyed listening to the podcast today and they want to come down, how can they get involved?
Well, there's two ways you can get involved. If you want to visit with your school, you can head to our school's webpage, which is canalrivertrust.org.uk/explorers. On there, you can find loads of activities, loads of free things to do with your class, and also how to book a school visit. If you want to visit with your family, just come along to the museum. You can pick up an annual pass from reception, which will let you in for the whole year, and it's really great value.
Perfect. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Can you give me your best fact about the canals?
My favourite fact about the canals is that there was a man called Chocolate Charlie. He had a boat called Mendip, and his job was to deliver chocolate crumb to the Bourneville factory in Birmingham. And as he travelled along the canals, the children used to look out for him and always try and give him a bit of help, help him through the locks, hoping that they'd get some chocolate crumb.
What's chocolate crumb?
It's like the ingredient for making chocolate. So it's kind of cocoa and sugar and smells delicious.
Sounds very nice. I think I would be one of those children. Thank you so much, Helen. That was great. Well, I have had a 10 out of 10 day here at Ellesmere Port at the River and Canal Trust. I've learnt so much, I couldn't even cram it into this section of the podcast. So it's definitely worth a visit. Now, back to you, Bex.
Thanks, Meg. You can find out more by searching National Waterways Museum.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, then, it's time to go over to Adam. We're getting super crafty and heading back in time for a bead-based craft.
Thanks, Bags. Oh, it was so great to hear about all of the different cottages on Porter's Row at the National Waterways Museum, wasn't it? I thought, though, that we could take a step back in time because I found this book in the basement of Fun Kids HQ. It's absolutely covered in dust. And it says Handicrafts for Children. And if I look at the date it was published, it's from the start of the 20th century. Did you know that at the start of the 20th century, children were starting to have free time? Something that up until then didn't really exist. Things like playtime, after school clubs, and play dates were unusual for most children, especially those in working class households. But as improvements in the 20th century came about, children just had more time to have fun. Let's take a quick look at the history of toys over the 20th century. In 1900, Frank Hornby invented a toy called Meccano, which are metal strips that you can use to build things, a bit like an advanced version of Lego. In 1907, Robert Baden-Powell formed the Boy Scouts. In 1910, the Girl Guides were formed. The first crossword was devised in 1913 by Arthur Winnie. Monopoly was introduced in 1935, and it was followed by Cluedo in 1949 and Twister in 1966. The 20th century was a time when people increasingly had spare time to have fun. So back to this book. I wonder what crafts there are in here for us to do. Let's take a look. Ooh, okay. Let's try this one. It's from 1912, and it's how to make your own beads to make jewellery. I think we're going to have to go to the kitchen for this. All right, I'm in the kitchen. I'm slightly concerned I'm going to get the book grubby, but actually it's covered in dust, so it doesn't really matter, does it? Here is the recipe. Step one is to mix 3 tablespoons of cornstarch and 3 tablespoons of cold water together. Then get an adult to heat 6 tablespoons of salt in a pan. It doesn't actually say you need an adult. Health and safety was much more relaxed in the 20th century, it would seem. But if you're using anything hot nowadays, you definitely need an adult to help. When it's piping hot, put the salt with the cornstarch and water and mix it in together. Okay, I've done that. And once it's not too hot to handle, what you can do is you can knead it into a dough. That essentially means getting your hand in, and just kind of squeezing it so that it's all mixed together. Now, one thing you can also do is add food colouring. I am in my cupboard, digging around. I know somewhere in here I have some bright red food colouring. I've just got to find it. Where have I put it? What you can do is you can make different colours as well by splitting the dough. You can add red to one half, for example, and blue to another. All right, to make the bracelet, we're going to roll the dough now into round beads with your fingers. And we're going to poke a hole through them before they harden. You can use something like a bamboo skewer. You could use a chopstick. You could use a straw. Once they're hard and they're set, we're going to tie a knot in the end of a piece of string so that the beads don't fall off. And we're going to thread the beads onto the string.
This is quite fiddly because I'm trying to juggle a microphone at the same time.
But once you've done it, you're going to tie it at the end. And there we go. I have a bracelet. You can now make lots of things with these beads. A key ring, a decoration to hang on the zip of your school bag. I think I quite like my bracelet. I'm going to keep it on
Thank you very much, Adam. Remember, there are lots of episodes of Activity Quest that you can go back and listen to any time you fancy. If you want some more suggestions of stuff to do, just scroll back in your podcast app and pick an episode you like. Whatever you do, and of course, however you do it, we want to know. Tell us at funkidslive.com/activityquest. And of course, rate, review and follow this podcast wherever it is you're listening to it. I'm Bex, and this has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. It was produced and edited by Adam Stoner, with additional production by Meg Long. Listen to me on your DAB digital radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app, and on your smart speaker. All you gotta do is say, "Play Fun Kids!" every weekday from 4 p.m. See you soon!
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.